Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Marigold Standard, your weekly audio source of all things Dream Star Fighting Marigold. I'm your host, Rob Goodwin. I am joined, as ever, by Mr. Matt Turner. Matt Turner, it's been quite the weekend of wrestling. Have you recovered?
Well, I've recovered a little bit, but then I'm going to be getting ready to rock and roll for this Saturday, as there's going to be three shows that we cover, two from Marigold with the Dream Star Grand Prix, and obviously one the final night of Stardom's five-star Grand Prix. But Rob Goodwin, before we get into all the fantastic stuff going on with our friends over at Marigold, a little bit of sad news, my friend. It's an old saying, bad news comes in threes, and this is the third week in a row that we have suffered another death in the pro wrestling family. We had Kevin Sullivan a few weeks ago. We had Afa, the Wild Samoan, last week. And just a few days ago, Psycho Sid, Sid Justice, Sid Vicious had passed away. I think he was only 63 years old, and an absolute shame, because he is somebody that really, when my fandom really hit an all-time high back in 1996, he was somebody that was all over my TV. And, you know, I get a lot of fans and a lot of wrestlers wrestlers in training ask me a lot of questions, like who to watch for selling, who to watch for this, what matches do I, tag matches to watch and whatnot. From time to time, I get asked, like, who do I think has the greatest look in the history of wrestling? And for me, like, number one is Brock Lesnar, two is Sid, and then everybody else, three to a million, like, from there. But, I mean, if you take a look at Sid's resume, the man main evented two WrestleManias. And who do you main event those WrestleManias against? Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker, like two of the biggest stars in the history of the business. Also in that era, he's a two-time WWF or WWE, whatever you want to call it, World Heavyweight Champion. And who are the two wrestlers he beat for those belts? Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, two of the greatest in-ring performers of all time. So the man does have a heck of a resume. Was able always to cut a very intense promo. Again, 14, 15 years old. He's the realest guy on the TV. Somebody that will definitely be inducted into the Hall of Fame someday. But just an absolute shame for somebody to lose their bout with cancer at just, again, I think they said he was 63 years old.
Yeah, Sid Udy was a big part of watching wrestling growing up. Obviously, he's perhaps going to be known for a lot of good in the wrestling world. And then obviously, that infamous promo that he cut about having half a brain, which is sort of embroidered in the wrestling fandom in the same way that Scott Steiner's Steiner Maths promo is as well. But, for all intents and purposes, I've read a lot of stuff on Twitter and online about one nice guy he was. I know Rob Van Dam had a really nice testament to him on his podcast. I know Lance Storm put something out about him as well. So he's going to be greatly missed. Obviously our, again, for the third week in a row, our thoughts, prayers and general good vibes go out to Sid Udy and his family, and hopefully this finds them well, and hopefully Sid's at peace, because obviously cancer is absolutely horrendous, and the sooner we get rid of it, the better. But apart from that, Mr. Turner, apart from that, how is life on the East Coast?
Life is always good, buddy. You know me. No reason to complain. Life is fantastic. I'm a blessed man. Things are well. It was, we're starting to cool things down a little bit. We probably had the hottest summer maybe ever in my 42 years that I've been blessed to be on this best of all possible worlds. This was easily the hottest summer. We had like 2 days of spring and then just ramped up to like the 90s. But high humidity. In the past few days, it's been a little bit cooler. The rain's come in, so it's kind of cooled things down, as we are literally at the end of August and we are marching on into the September and fall months. And here in the States this weekend, we have Labor Day, which is nice. So my company, not only am I off on Monday, which is the day they have observed for Labor Day, but my company gives us Friday off as well. So as recording this on a Thursday, it's pretty much my last day of work for the next few days, which would be nice to kind of get some relaxing in and to try to get caught up all these fantastic Joshi shows that we have going on here, brother.
Absolutely, because next weekend, obviously, we have the final of the five stars you've already mentioned, the beginning of the Dream Star, which we are going to be previewing in this episode of the Marigold Standard. Obviously, we'll then have All In the week after. We've got Bash in Berlin. We've got NXT No Mercy, where there is every single chance that Julia might show up. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy, busy, busy time. But I'm going to go into a little bit of the news. I did say on the Stardom cast as I dropped my pen that because it was going to be such a super long episode, and it was almost 4 hours, which we seem to be doing on a worryingly regular basis, Matt Turner, I realised, I just didn't want to pad it out anymore. So there is some little bits of news that I want to go into. Then we're going to talk about, obviously, the two shows from Shinkiba, the Saturday and the Sunday shows. We saw a Twin Star defense, the first ever Marigold Twin Star Championships defense. And we saw a gauntlet for Julia before she left. She has now officially left. And Matt, I don't know if you've seen on social media, we've seen pictures of her saying goodbye to her grandpa, which brought a tear to the eye, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it really shows the human side of Julia. I mean, it's well documented that she's very close with her grandfather, and that was pretty much the last post that she posted. I'm sure the next one that we'll see is going to be something with her, maybe training in NXT, or maybe even showing up in NXT, but I thought that was very beautiful, very, very touching. It's nice. It's nice to see. I have a very close relationship with my grandfather, so that hits home. That's really nice to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does go to show as well just how much wrestlers do give up to pursue their dreams. And obviously, we wish Julian nothing but the best, but to uproot her life, I think that her mum is moving out there with her, and I think her boyfriend is also moving out there with her, so she won't be doing it on her own. But to uproot her entire life, to move to a completely different country where you don't speak the language, although she did do an interview with, I believe it was Number Web, where she talked about basically what it took to get to a standard of English, and it was really intensive the way that she went about it. It's difficult to do all of that, so full credit to Julia for pursuing her dream, and I'm sure it will go exceptionally well for her, because they're very excited, and the excitement for a rematch between her and Stephanie Vaquer has already made it to Instagram, and Stephanie Vaquer has already shared it, so clearly the excitement is real. But that, Mr. Matt Turner, brings me to my first article of news. And this comes courtesy of that Number Web article about Julia. And this comes secondhand courtesy of Dark Puro Resu Flosion on Twitter, or at Puro Resu Flow, who have given us a quote from that article. It says that Bozilla was teased to be heading to the WWE in the near future in today's Number Web article about Julia. And then there's a quote from that article. Bozilla, who is a rising star from Germany, may be heading to WWE in the near future, so we may see Julia versus Bozilla in a WWE ring. Now, there is a lot of teased and maybe and might be, but then this was also retweeted by Bozilla, who tweeted it with a hiding face emoji and a I can't speak emoji, so giving it a little bit more credence. And obviously, Zeta Steel has left, which we're going to talk about very, very shortly. But Matt, it looks like Bozilla could be the next in NXT, and signing Bozilla, Julia, and Stephanie Vaquer is certainly a statement of intent for the Gold brand.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to give NXT a lot more firepower in the women's division, considering the fact, I know me and you both agree that Roxanne Perez has been main roster ready for the past year or so. My guess is she's just been kind of staying down there to be the glue to hold everything together. So I think, like, once those three wrestlers go there, obviously Stephanie Vaquer, I believe she's just waiting on her visa. Julia, they kind of, I don't know if you saw NXT this past week, Rob, or you might have saw the clips, they kind of teased that she might have been backstage. I don't know if you've seen that, but I mean, the fact that you're getting Stephanie Vaquer, which we know, Julia, which we know, and the fact that Bozilla may be coming sooner than later is basically going to stack this division up really, really nicely. And there's a lot of really good up and coming wrestlers in the women's division in NXT, and then hopefully that'll give Roxanne Perez her chance and her opportunity to head over to either the Raw brand or the SmackDown brand, because there'll be a lot of great matches with her, whether it's an EO, a Kyrie, you know, with a Blair Davenport, you know, the former B. Priestley. So yeah, interesting things, a lot of moving parts. I mean, the WWE really, I mean, they're the biggest, whether you like them or you don't, you can't deny they are easily the biggest wrestling company in the world by miles and miles. And they're just constantly moving, constantly looking for talent, constantly, you know, having people improve. And the buzz behind Julia is real. I mean, once she makes her debut, that place in Full Sail is going to go absolutely nuts. And considering the fact that Halloween Havoc is only about an hour and a half away from my house there, Mr. Rob Goodwin, which is NXT Halloween Havoc. It's actually about 10 minutes away from our good buddy Norm from Funk Brewing's house. So there's a possibility that I might be going to that show, but that's neither here nor there. At least not yet. But yeah, a lot of really interesting moving parts going around for NXT when it comes to the Marigold roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when you consider that NXT have also signed Delta as well, it's, or at least are in the process of signing Delta. I don't know if it's confirmed yet. It is, like I mentioned, a very exciting roster. And I think Bozilla is going to fit in really, really well there because she offers something that nobody else offers on that NXT roster. And we've seen from her time in Marigold, and again, we are sort of assuming this is writ, really. But it, you know, I think with Bozilla at least acknowledging this, it, you know, it's worth talking about. I think she's proved what talent she is in Marigold. You know, her matches with Nanae Takahashi, for example, in Corrigan Hall, I think was a tremendous singles match. Her match with Miko Aono, a great singles match. She's proved that she's got the raw talent. She's only 21 years old, which is crazy for the amount of talent she has. So to then go to NXT to potentially, you know, smooth off a little bit of the roughness and sort of talk about, you know, working cameras and things like that and selling to the cameras. Obviously, it's the next evolution for Bozilla. And, you know, she has the potential to be a huge, huge star on that main roster, both figuratively and literally. So if that does go through, then obviously we wish Bozilla nothing but the best. And when we start talking about Julia during the, what were you going to call the EO and Kyrie version of Julia? Was it Julia Watch? But it was something beginning with G.
Well, there was, Andy Hedder gave a whole bunch of different things. And when we talked to him on Saturday, because he told me he's one show behind, so I think he'll be caught up. Brilliant. But Andy Hedder more than likely is going to be joining us for our live 5-star review. He gave me a gaze at Julia or a glimpse at Julia. So we'll have to, we'll have to ask him which one he prefers. And then, of course, ask him his favorite hairstyle from the 5-star Grand Prix. But yeah, that's one of the two we're kind of workshopping around, but maybe we'll brainstorm it live on air between the three of us this Saturday. If you don't have enough reason to tune into the live Stardom Cast podcast this Saturday, I just gave you another one.
Our live streams are effectively just live production meetings where we just discuss other things we're going to be doing. But yeah, I am. I think when we talk about glimpse of Julia or glance at Julia or gaze at Julia, whatever it is, we can obviously incorporate Bozilla into that as well. If she doesn't go, I'm obviously very, very happy to see her stay in Marigold. And obviously we know that she's staying in Marigold for at least the next month or so because she is in the Dreamstar Grand Prix. Moving on to a little bit more news. Unfortunately, now Ishikawa, who has had a really rotten set of luck since joining Marigold in terms of injuries and in terms of illness. It's been released on the official Marigold Twitter that due to poor health, Nao Ishikawa will be absent from the Osaka tournament on August 31st. Now, obviously, we know that she's not qualified for the Dream Star. I believe she was due to have a singles match with Myla Grace, at least on one of the shows. I am going to assume that she will be off both the afternoon and the evening cards. But what a devastating moment for Nao Ishikawa, who every time she seems to build a little bit of momentum, seems to get injured or seems to come down with something. The timing is absolutely horrendous. Obviously, it's never good to get an illness. It's never good to get an injury, but now's timing has been absolutely awful when it comes to injury. And obviously, before I throw it to you, Matt, we obviously wish Now nothing but the best, because she is so entertaining to watch. We're going to be lavishing praise on her, I imagine, for the Marigold Twin Star Championships match she was a part of as part of Passion Sisters, because for me, the majority of the match centered around her, and I thought she did a tremendous, tremendous job. Fingers crossed it's nothing too serious. But Matt, what a blow for Now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It seems like anytime she gets some momentum behind her, she has to be taken off these shows. You know, for obviously you want to err on the side of caution. You don't want anybody to get seriously injured. So again, we don't know what it is. Just what is it? Was poor health, brother? Is that what it was?
It just says due to poor health. Yeah.
Maybe just with the weather changing, you know, sometimes, and this is kind of cold and flu season as we're coming off summer, going into fall. Hopefully that's all that it is. Hopefully she'll be back after the slew of shows this weekend. But yeah, you're absolutely, and again, we'll get into it. In a match that has the tag team champions and a legend like Nanai Takahashi, Naomi Ishikawa in that tag team championship match, for me, was the clear MVP of that match. And the one really, I mean, there's a lot of special things about Naomi Ishikawa, but the one really, really special thing about her is that the fact that she is so over with the Marigold audience, and every match she's looking at the lights. She does not have one official win. Yeah, she's one of the most popular wrestlers on the stacked roster. So that just goes to show you what a special talent that she is. And hopefully she'll be back sooner than later.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, again, our good wishes go out to Now, who we really, really hope catches a break soon. Another Marigold talent has wrestled their last match in Japan. Obviously, we know that August 25th was the final match for Julia, the gauntlet match for Julia, and that was rightly the main focus of that show. But Zeta Steele also wrestled her final match in Marigold on that show. She tweeted out, "My last match in Japan is also Julia's last. How fitting." And obviously, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Our last match being a six-woman tag with her, Misa Matsui and Myla Grace, defeating Natsumi Shozuki, Komomo Miname, and Minami Yuki. Never got that pinfall win, did Zeta Steele, which is unfortunate. But in terms of entertainment, in terms of development, in terms of progress, I think you can only class Zeta Steele's tour with Marigold as a huge success, Matt.
Yeah, she was terrific. Her and Myla Grace, they, you know, obviously they came in at the same time. And after the first few shows, you're like, okay, like they need some polishing up. And then by the time you got to show like 6 or 7, I'm like, okay, these two wrestlers look completely different than they did in show 1 or show 2. Especially Zeta Steele was able to really connect with that Japanese audience pretty much early on. And then she was really getting her timing down, the psychology down, a lot of different things. She is somebody, again, Myla Grace as well, but Zeta Steele has improved so much on this tour in Japan for Marigold. You can tell she was putting in the hours at the training dojo, training with the Utamis, the Julias, the Nanais, and you know, whoever else was coming through the dojo there for Marigold. And she obviously took it seriously because of how great she got. And the one really good thing about this is that now that She's basically going to be able to ride her own ticket. She's probably going to be doing a whole bunch of independent. She had a really good spotlight put on her being on all these shows, especially that Summer Destiny show. So, I mean, Marigold is a company that had a lot of steam behind it before it even started. And there's been a lot of eyes on Zeta Steele over the last few months. So it's going to be interesting to see what independence that she winds up on, or maybe she's shows up maybe on a tryout for an AEW or a WWE, or maybe we'll see her back in Marigold sometime at the end of the month. I don't know, but I'm real excited for her. I'm pretty sure that she's going to constantly keep improving, and I would not be shocked to see her under a contract, whether it's a Marigold, whether it's a Stardom. I mean, who knows, whether it's a CMLL, whether it's an TNA. I think her and TNA, I think, would be absolutely fantastic, but I wouldn't be shocked that in the next 12 to 18 months, she's under some sort of contract. But it's going to be a really fun time for her to see all the different independents that she's going to be working.
I know that she had some dates already booked, because I think it was Meltzer in The Observer announced that she was on the shorter of the tour contracts out of her, Bozilla and Myla Grace. And she's been there since day one, so the 20th of May, and we're now the 29th of August. So she's been there for over 5 months. No, she hasn't. She's been over there 3 months, is what I meant to say, which I think Dave reported that she was only on a three-month contract. So I think she's done tremendously well. I know that she's done a lot in MLW, I think. So that might be where she's heading back to. I think she's tailor-made for something like a TNA. I can see her in a WWE. Certainly, she's so confident with the crowd. She's so sort of the trash talk that she does is such a delight to watch, and it brought something completely different to Marigold matches. I'm massively going to miss her on the roster. And I know that a lot of the Japanese talent were tweeting out how much they're going to miss her as well. So obviously, again, we wish nothing but the best for Zeta Steele, who I think has really, really, really worked hard on this tour and has reaped the benefits, even if she never did get that singles victory and never did get that pinfall victory. But again, this is a woman who is 2 years into her career. She's 20 years old and, you know, quite literally, she has the world at her feet at this point. She can do what she wants. And you, I believe you said it best, my friend. She can write her own ticket. And I think this tour will have only brought her name more sharply into focus. And I hope it has, because she deserves the focus. She's been very, very, very good. Moving on a little bit more. So obviously we are coming into Dream Star season. We have come out of the Summer Gold Shine tour, but post Dream Star through October and November, Marigold have announced the Fantastic Adventure Tour, which is going to take them from Saturday the 5th of October all the way through to Monday the 4th of November. It will include Marigold's first foray into Hokkaido, the Sapporo Gato Kingdom, which may sound familiar to some of you, as that is where Stardom held their World and Wonder Rendezvous shows as well. So we'll see Marigold debuting there as well. The dates and the venues are as follows. Saturday the 5th of October in Osaka 176 Box. Monday the 7th will be the first post-Dream Star Korakuen Hall show. Saturday the 12th in KBS Hall, Kyoto. Sunday the 13th of October in Act City, Hamamatsu. Monday the 14th in Shibuya Ward Sports Center. Sunday the 20th of October in Arcs Hall, Nagano. Thursday the 24th of October, another Korakuen Hall show. So there'll be two Korakuens in October. Sunday the 27th, we have got an evening and afternoon show in Shinkiba First Ring. And then we have got that double shot at Sapporo Gato Kingdom in Hokkaido, an afternoon and an evening show on the 2nd of November. And then the Fantastic Adventure Tour ends on Monday the 4th of November in Nagoya Congress Center, Aichi. So again, some debuting taking place for Marigold, two Korakuen Hall shows in the month of October, Matt. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what a post, not only post Dream Star, but a post Julia Marigold is going to look like as we head towards that winter period.
Yeah, Rossi and Marigold, they've done a great job of basically building the first few shows to get to Summer Destiny. And then Summer Destiny, we're springboarding into the Dream Star Grand Prix tournament. And then after that, we're springboarding basically into these shows in the fall, especially in October. Again, partner, you mentioned we have two shows in Korakuen Hall where Marigold's been able to draw really, really well on the handful of shows they've already done there. But yeah, it's going to be interesting because you do not have Julia there anymore. And we don't know what's going on with Sari. We know that obviously she's the Red Belt champion. As far as I know, still not under any contract. However, she's clearly doing a whole bunch of shows for Marigold because she's in the Dream Star Grand Prix. So the more sorry we get to see, we're not sorry about it. See what I did there?
Oh, Matt, look at that.
Hey now. Anyway, but yeah, you're absolutely my Howard Stern hey now tribute. But yeah, you're right. It's going to be interesting to see how they're going to be able to do without Julia. And you mentioned the possibility of Bozilla you know, there's a possibility after this tournament, Bozilla might be gone. So this might be not only Julia, but Bozilla as well. So you're going to have to really see. We've seen a whole bunch of rookies. We got a lot of new rookies coming in. I mean, we already have Kazuna Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki, even though they're not rookies, but they're younger. You know, we have some of these newer rookies that we've been seeing over the last few shows, and then we had four of them that we saw a glimpse of them at the Julia Gauntlet. So there's going to be a lot of new rookies coming in to add to this roster. The only thing with that is rookies aren't going to be drawing ticket sales like a Julia, like a Bozilla, like a Sari, depending on what's going on with her. So it's going to be a lot of emphasis on really, really getting the Marigold machine behind, you know, your wrestlers that are already established, that are doing real well, but that you need more steam behind your Chika Gotos, your Koki Amores, your Miko Anos, your Natsumi Shozukis, your Misa Matsuis. We know they are great wrestlers, but I think they need to be put in the spotlight a little bit more and kind of bump them up. Obviously, we know Utami, Mirai, and Mei Sakurai, again, blown away by what she's been able to do. They're kind of your linchpins right now in order to sell tickets. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting coming off this tournament if they're going to be able to sustain as well as they have been literally since day one. And a lot of that has to do because there is no Julia. So yeah, hopefully with the Dreamstar Grand Prix, it gets enough people to kind of, enough people to stay to watch Marigold and not only stay, but even get more eyes on the project and just how talented this lineup is on the Dreamstar. I'm pretty confident that they're going to be A-okay.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly concur. We did talk about this on the Stardom cast, but this final bit, obviously, I feel like we do probably need to just refer back to it. The fact that Tokyo Sports have confirmed the Marigold will have its first foray into the United States over WrestleMania week. They will be running a show in Las Vegas. We are, hopefully, it's like 95%, Matt. We are going to be there. Fingers crossed, as we discussed in detail on the Stardom cast, they don't run at the same time as Stardom, otherwise we have a very difficult decision to make. You're right. I think you said we're gonna have to divide and conquer, and that might have to be the way to go. But yeah, really exciting. I think it is a huge opportunity for Marigold to go. Especially with the connections with WWE, and to be able to do this whilst still in your relative infancy as a company, considering the company still won't be a year old at this point. You know, the first show didn't take place until the 20th of May. Don't know why I keep saying March. And WrestleMania is due to take place over the weekend of April 19th and 20th. So to be able to do that early on, and you know for a fact that they will sell out. 100%, unless they do like something stupid and run the arena there that they're doing the Raw and the NXT out of. They're gonna sell out because the fan appetite for Joshi wrestling at the moment in America, I feel, is really, really, really strong. And I think both Stardom and Marigold are going to benefit massively off that, Matt.
Yeah, again, we made mention of just the other day when we recorded for Stardom. And what we mean by that is with Stardom and Marigold, if they are both running, Marigold has confirmed that they're running in Las Vegas. We're pretty sure that Stardom as well. What we mean by we hope they're not running the same date, the same time, because a lot of the Stardom fan base are Marigold fans and vice versa. And again, just me, if you're looking at just me and Rob, say me and Rob are going, right? Say one show's on a Friday, one show's on a Saturday. That's four tickets bought, two for Marigold and two for Stardom. If they're running same date, same time, guess what's happening? More than likely, Rob's going to go to one show to cover it, and I'm going to go to the other show to cover it. So right there, you've already lost one ticket. Times that by 200, 300, 400, you're going to be losing revenue. Not only, again, depending, fingers crossed, we're working things out. If we're able to do a live Stardom cast / Marigold standard podcast, can you imagine if we do it very much like we did in Philadelphia right after the show? We're a little like... we're literally talking to the people at the bar, whatever venue we're hopefully able to book. So I'm like, all right, Rob, tell me what happened at the Stardom show, and then I'll tell you what happened at the Marigold show. That really wouldn't make for the best of content either. But again, we shall see. And it might not be up to them. It might be just, hey, this is the only time that we have the venue booked, and we can't. That's just the way that it goes. Hopefully, it doesn't go that way, because if it does, I think it'd be a huge mistake. And I think not only Marigold, but Stardom would lose out on a lot of money. But fingers crossed, my friend, that doesn't happen again. We shall see as we're getting closer and closer to WrestleMania 41 in Viva Las Vegas. But yeah, you're absolutely right. This is huge for Marigold, because the Joshi wrestling scene is nothing like we see over here in the United States. And again, a lot of my friends that are pro wrestling fans, they only watch stuff in America, like back in the day, WCW, even longer, older than that, you know, the NWA from the 80s. Right now it's AEW and WWE. That's all that they really watch. And anytime we get any of this Joshi talent that comes over, whether it's on the NXT or like, I get told all the time, like, wow, Io, she's absolutely amazing. She's terrific. Nobody in WWE can touch her. And I'm like, where do you see the other wrestlers that are over in Stardom for where Io made her big name? And then when Mina came over, and she's over there now, and Azumi as well had that match with Tony Storm, people are blown away by what they see. And Will Ospreay made a really good point on Chris Jericho's podcast a couple of months ago when he said, like, whoever your favorite women's wrestler is that's on one of the big TV stations over here in America, no disrespect to them, but 99% of the Joshis working over in Japan can outwork 99% of the wrestlers over in WWE and AEW. And that's Will Ospreay telling you. Probably the best wrestler in the world today, or if not one of. So it's completely different. It's completely different in a good way, the way that these wrestlers wrestle. It's just absolutely mind-blowing how much the Joshi style, it is, again, it's wrestling subjective, but you know, you can like what you like, but obviously I'm probably, you know, speaking for you as well, partner, the Joshi style, especially with Stardom and Marigold, is better than 99% of the wrestling that's out there. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be something different, and I think Marigold and Stardom are going to benefit from this U.S. tour, or these shows in our WrestleMania weekend, hugely, especially Marigold, considering the fact, as you mentioned, that they're less than a year old and they're going to be running WrestleMania weekend. I think people are going to be blown away by the Natsumi Shozukis, by the Miko Anos, by the Koki Amores, by the Chika Gotos. I think Chika Goto's already ready-made for American wrestling. She's got a catchy catchphrase, buddy. You know what I mean? So I think she's ready to rock and roll. So it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be exciting. Again, I just, fingers crossed, brother, that they don't run same day, same time. If anything, if the wrestling gods have punished me enough, or they haven't punished me at all, but if they punished me a little this past WrestleMania weekend, they ran Bloodsport and the Stardom show, which I know has nothing to do with either of them. So hopefully this year they're a little bit nicer to me.
So you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Marigold Stardom, if you are listening, don't run at the same time, because you're making it awkward for me and Matt.
And all the fans too. And all the fans. Again, you are going to be losing income, because you're gonna have people have to make a decision. So now in just us, we don't want to sound selfish, brother, but you'll probably lose out on a good, you know, anywhere between 300 to 500 ticket sales.
But more importantly, you would make our live podcast a little bit more awkward. So if you could avoid doing that, that would be great, because ultimately the other fans don't matter. It's only me and Matt. No, I'm joking, obviously.
Your heel turn again. Did
there
you
we
turn
go.
Heel last week or the week before?
I did on my big show.
You are the big show, brother.
I am the big show. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to be doing, as I've already said, is we're going to look at the two Summer Gold Shine shows from Shinkiba this weekend. We're going to run through those, and then we are going to talk a little bit about the upcoming Dream Star, deliver a bit of a preview in terms of the Dream Star. Obviously, with this being the inaugural tournament, it will be in nowhere near as much detail as the 5-Star Grand Prix Primer was. However, in the coming years, it will progressively get to that point once we've got more stats, once we've got more statistics of wrestlers one-on-ones and things like that. So we'll do what we can for you today to sort of cap your excitement. No, that's bad. I don't want to cap your excitement. I want to elevate your excitement. That's the one.
Excitement.
Exactly. Coax your excitement for what will be a fantastic tournament. But before we move on to that, let's go on to our show reviews. The first is the Summer Gold Shine 2024 Night 11 show, 24th of August, the Saturday show. Shinkiba First Ring, 272 people in it. attendance, slightly below the average of 280 that they garnered in the first four shows that they did at Shinki, but it's not the lowest attendance, though. The card is as follows. So, Chika Goto defeated Minami Yuki in 7 minutes and 22 seconds. Myla Grace defeated Komomo Miname and Zayda Steele in a three-way match. Myla Grace pinning Komomo Miname with the fall from Grace in 4 minutes and 4 seconds. In tag team action, Misa Matsui and Natsumi Shozuki defeated Kazuna Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki in 11 minutes and 52 seconds. Natsumi Shozuki getting the pinfall with the diving double knees onto Kazuna Tanaka. In a six-woman tag match, your semi-main event, Koki Amore, Miko Aono, and Utami Hayashishita, and the team of Bozilla, Chiaki, and Nagisa Nozaki went to a 15-minute time limit draw. And then in your main event, Kasai, I believe, is what they are calling themselves, or something like that. I need to get that name down. But Mai Sakurai and Mirai made their first title defense of the Marigold Twin Star titles, defeating the challengers, the Passion Sisters, Nanae Takahashi, and now Ishikawa in 17 minutes and 9 seconds. Mai Sakurai getting the pinfall with the glorious driver onto now Ishikawa, which she appears to have inherited as a finishing move, Matt Turner, which is a lovely little nod considering the way her and Julia beat the ever-loving hell out of each other in that Korakuen main event just a week ago.
Yeah, I made mention, I know we kind of, because of our work schedule, they didn't sync up as well as we liked to be last week, so I know we kind of did separate reviews, and then you call it Frankenstein them together, Frankenstein and monsters together, but I made mention last week, I talked about how good this match was and how Mai Sakurai hits a tiger suplex and then a glorious driver. And I even said, boy, howdy, wouldn't it be great if Mai Sakurai started using the glorious driver as a finisher? And guess what happens on the next show? So hopefully Rob Goodwin, that now she's added, and she did the tiger suplex here and did it very well. So now that she's got the tiger suplex and now that she's got the glorious driver, Rob, that might be too many moves for her. So there might be one move she may have to take out of her arsenal. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
I know, but knowing my luck, it'll be the bloody guillotine leg drop that she'll take out. It's like, no, Mai,
she
stop
hasn't done it.
Though. I know.
She hasn't done it.
It was so good when for like the three shows she did it in Stardom. But I digress because, again, after what was, let's not be around the bush. It was a career-making performance for Mai Sakurai in Korakuen. And then she follows it up here. We might as well talk about this main event because this is obviously the match we're going to talk most about. That and the semi-main, which was also very, very good. But to have that match with Julia and then have the match that she has here where she went from being a brutal attacker of now Ishikawa to then having to sell when she's in with Nanae Takahashi. We saw a lot of different sides of Mai Sakurai, and I think she performed all of them admirably. However, now Ishikawa was the focus, and I think she came out looking fantastic, Matt Turner.
Yeah, and the Passion Sisters here, they come out right out the gate jumping the tag team champions. Like, they're not messing around, but considering the fact you have Mirai, obviously main eventer, Mai Sakurai, you just mentioned, she is a made wrestler now and constantly getting better. Again, the fact that we're adopting the tiger suplex, the fact that we're adopting Julia's glorious driver, the fact that we have made it a point to put over, and rightfully so, that the STF she uses is taught to her by Masha Hirochono, an absolute legend wrestler. All these wrestlers were great, but now Ishikawa, for me, and I know we talked a little bit before we hit the record button, I know that you agree with me, now Ishikawa was the MVP of this match. She was absolutely fantastic. Her firing up, her selling, knowing different levels of selling, knowing where to get the sympathy from the crowd, and just waiting for that hot tag to Nai Takahashi, and then Nai comes in and does what she does best, and just absolutely clears house on the tag champs, and then we do get a fire back up from Nao Ishikawa, which is great because that's the whole psychology of the match. Is like, you want Nao Ishikawa to start making her comeback. She's wrestling the tag team champions here, and she's never won a match, and she's getting beat down and beat down and beat down, and eventually she makes the hot tag and then comes back in. And then she comes, she basically, you know, weathers the storm from the tag champs. And then she puts a nice little beating on Mirai and Mai Sakurai. And then we get Mirai and Nanai Takahashi. They kind of have like a little mini match where they kind of take each other out. And then we just go, we basically then get down to Mai Sakurai and Naoi Ishikawa. And Mai Sakurai, when she locks in that STF on Naoi Ishikawa, a lot of the people here in Chikiba, they're waiting for Naoi Ishikawa to get to the ropes or to break the hold. They were really, really behind her. Eventually, though, she gets out of the STF, but the damage isn't done from Mai Sakurai as she hits the Goodwin elbow drop, and then she goes for the Goodwin elbow drop, but she misses. So that might be one of the reasons why Naoi Ishikawa was the she had a well-scouted brother. Maybe she listened to this podcast.
Maybe.
So Mai Sakurai, she crashes and burns on that, however, and then she follows up with a big German suplex for a 2.9 count, which a lot of people bid on the falsy on, which is just goes to show you how brilliant this match was put together and how great these four wrestlers were. However, though, it's the Tiger Suplex and the Glorious Driver combination that puts down Naoi Ishikawa, giving Mirai and Mai Sakurai their first successful title defense. I had this at 4.25 stars. I thought this was a terrific match and a great way for Mirai and Mai Sakurai to start off their championship, their tag team championship reign.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they're a good first team to hold the belts. They can certainly begin to add to the prestige of the belts because obviously we're starting from nothing effectively. And I think a good solid title reign for these two, I think that not only does that help build the title belt and what those title belts mean, but I think also it helps to build other challenges because, yes, absolutely, a lot of the praise needs to go to Mirai and to Mai Sakurai because they are fantastic. However, you look at what they did for Naoi Ishikawa here, you know that I believe it was teased that the Twin Towers are going to be the next challengers. Okay, brilliant. Let's elevate Chika Goto and Koki Amore. You know, you want to have Nagisa Nozaki and Chiaki challenge. Brilliant. Let's elevate them in a match with us. And then eventually when they're ready to take the belts off them, you've elevated enough tag teams that you've now got a really, really solid foundation to continue to build those twin star championships on. So I don't want them to lose the belts for a good while yet. There's no need for them to lose them yet. I think they are the perfect first champions. I gave this match 4 stars. I want more Mirai and Nanai Takahashi, though. I would love to see a singles match between those two, especially this Marigold iteration of Mirai, which we've said on almost every single Marigold Standard episode that we've done, how much this change of scenery has benefited her and how she has embraced it. I would love to see that versus Nanai Takahashi, who I just fawned over on the previous episode. I was really just full of praise for the work that she's doing in Marigold. Give me that singles match. Have it as a semi-main in a Corrigan Hall and have it be a 15-minute just strike and lariat soup. That's all I want. And then eventually have, basically, do what you did with Utami, do that with Mirai. And I think you'll have a very, very hot crowd for that. But yeah, a really, really, really good match. Looking then, Matt, at this semi-main event as well. Both semi-mains actually went to time limit draws and were very similar in their structures. But I was really impressed with the performance of Koki Amore in this match, Matt.
Yes, she did a great job, especially on the stuff with Bozilla. And Bozilla is kind of your dominant big heel here. And this is like a really cool, like, again, we don't have factions just yet, but this looks like to me they're going to be a faction, like your big, bad, ass-kicking heel faction with Nagisa Nozaki, Chiaki, and Bozilla, because they work really, really well together. And again, they don't mind bending the rules to get the advantage. And the fact that you had Utami, Miko Ano, and Koki Amore kind of as the foils on the opposite side, again, Koki Amore is somebody new, at least, you know, to us, because we've never seen her before, and she's somebody that has really, really captivated us, as well as Miko Ano. Now, I know a lot of the Marigold fans know Miko Ano during her time at Actress Girls, and I know me and you have been completely blown away by what we've seen with her in Marigold. And then Utami, she's the standard bearer in this company. I mean, let's not mix words. She's the best of the best. She really is. So this is an easy story to tell. But you're right, they did a lot of focusing on Kokiyama right here. And this is going to do nothing but help build her back, or help build her up for the Dream Star. Because you did have, again, the big bad heels bending the rules a little bit to get the advantage, especially on Kokiyama. Again, Utami Hayashista, she is your big main eventer. Miko Ano is holding the second biggest belt, the second most important belt in the company, you know, in the pure white belt. So they do a good job focusing on Kokiyama to elevate her, to get her ready for this big run she's going to have in the Dream Star. And I thought it was done very well. The Utami Bozilla stuff I always love, because again, Bozilla sets herself up in these multi-person tag matches we've seen over the last few months, that she's just so dominant. And then Utami eventually comes in and does what Utami does best, the shoulder tackles, the forearms, the clotheslines, and then eventually is able to kind of crack down Bozilla just a little bit. I kind of wish this was, I thought maybe the last 2 or 3 minutes maybe drug on just a little bit too much for me. I knew once at about the 10, 11 minute mark, just the pacing, because it kind of started to slow down a little. Like, okay, this is going to go to the time limit draw. I wish they would have capped this at 12 or 13 minutes. I understand they wanted to go to the TLD, but I thought it drug on just a little bit too much for me. I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I had it 3.5 stars, but I thought maybe if they would have cut a minute or two out and had an actual winner, it would have turned off better. But regardless, what we got in the main event really sent everybody home happy.
So just out of blind curiosity, did you feel the same way about the time limit draw on the second night, or was that just a problem you had with a very minor problem? Yes, but a problem you had with this match specifically.
I liked the one on the next night a little bit better. I had it at 3.5 stars, but to me, that kind of felt on a drug on a little bit as well.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Right, okay, fair enough. I was just intrigued. Having a look then, the tag match, Misa Matsui and Natsumi Shozuki against Kazuna Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki. Marigold are blessed with two, I think it's fair to call them super rookies. I am endowing them with that title. It is potentially a little bit premature, but I'm going to anyway, especially for Kazuna Tanaka. But again, I'm going to anyway. I thought this was a really good back and forth. I really like the dynamic between Misa Matsui and Natsumi Shozuki. You know, you've got that, yes, we'll work together, and yes, we're very good at working together, but also there is that bubbling resentment about the flyweight title, or the superfly title, sorry. So I really like that. And Kazuna Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki, we're going to talk about them a little bit more on the Dreamstar preview, but they are very, very, very talented, and it's a pleasure to watch them in ring, Matt.
Yeah, I like this match almost as much as I like the main event. Mm. That's how much I really like this tag match. And maybe that's where I was kind of hung up a little bit on the semi-main event with the time limit draw, because the pace kind of maybe slowed down a little, where this was just like nonstop great action. Again, Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki, whoever idea it was to put these two as a tag team, they knew what they were doing. Because right from the jump, you know, I think the first time they tagged up was at the Summer Destiny show. You can see these two have really, really good chemistry. They just need to kind of get their timing down a little and tweak a couple things. And they did that. They've done that already. We've seen them, whether it be multi-person matches or just straight up tag matches, they work really, really well together. And Natsumi Shozuki and Misa Matsui, they know each other really well because they're rivals and they're rivaling over, you know, the flyweight championship or the super flyweight championship. But they work really well together as a tag team here. It's almost like they're trying to outdo each other. So you basically have Tanaka and Yuzuki, they're getting the advantage on this match by dividing and conquer, using their tag team experience to get the advantage on one of these two really great wrestlers, where you have Natsumi Shozuki and Misa Matsui just trying to use their singles advantage to get the advantage back in their in their camp, where it's really Natsumi Shozuki using a lot of the strikes to get the advantage back. She does this bullet train, the running knees to Victoria Yuzuki, that was just absolutely crazy. I was like, holy gee, she almost... And she did the same thing to Misa Matsui again at that Summer Destiny show, where she basically ran almost a quarter of the way through Sumo Hall. But she does one here in the corner that was nuts. Yuzuki, though, is great fire in all these matches, especially this one, getting an inside cradle for a 2.9 count. And then I found Natsumi Shozuki uses Kazuna Tanaka's foot. Like, Kazuna Tanaka comes in, she starts cleaning house with these kicks. And then Natsumi catches one of the kicks and then throws it at Victoria Yuzuki's head. And it was a really cool, interesting spot, because it's like, you know that Kazuna Tanaka has these great kicks, but Natsumi Shozuki shows her experience by blocking one of the kicks and then throws it at her own tag partner's head. I thought that was really great, and again, something really interesting. Natsumi puts Kazuna Tanaka in the Fujiwara armbar, and then Tanaka reverses that and then puts Natsumi Shozuki into an armbar. Really, really cool stuff. Again, akin to her dad, Minoru Tanaka, who was very, very well versed at not only the kicks, but going to her opponent's arm. And you can see her dad's influence in her style. And folks, that is a good thing, because again, her dad was one of the best junior style wrestlers in the early 2000s. Kazuna Tanaka hits a missile dropkick for a two count, and then, we do see Victoria Yuzuki with the, Kazuna Tanaka then does a rolling armbar style pin for a two. But eventually, though, it's Natsumi Shozuki hitting that top rope diving knee bomb, putting Kazuna Tanaka away. Again, I absolutely love this match. They were able to tell so many different levels of stories and able to get that done in about 12 minutes. Once again, my man, 4.25 stars for me.
Hard to argue, my friend, with anything you've just said. I think this dream star, and again, we're going to talk about breakout, who we think are going to be breakouts and who we think are also going to be dark horses. And I think both Tanaka and Yuzuki could fit into that bracket. And I mean, jumping ahead just for a minute, who was the one person to get the pinfall victory over Julia in the gauntlet? And again, might mean nothing, but it also might mean everything, because Tsukasa Fujimoto didn't get a pinfall, Sari didn't get a pinfall, Utami Hayashishita didn't get a pinfall, Mirai didn't get a pinfall, Victoria Yuzuki got the pinfall over Julia. If ever there was a passing of the torch moment, that was it. So they clearly have big things planned for Victoria Yuzuki, and rightly so. Before we move on to that second show then, Matt, is there anything you want to talk about in regards to those opening matches on this show?
No, that's it, buddy. We're good. I mean, I thought the three-way, though, was... I liked how Myla Grace and Zeta Steele, they were able to really use their high pace in that match. Again, you can see just the improvement that is Myla Grace and Zeta Steel. But no, the main crux of the show was definitely match number three and the main event.
Moving on then to night 12 of the Summer Gold Shine Tour, again from Shinkiba First Ring from the 25th of August, the Sunday show. 288 people in attendance, which is one short of the highest Shinkiba attendance for Marigold. These are your results. So we start with a six-woman tag match. The team of Misa Matsui, Myla Grace, and Zeta Steel defeated the team of Komomo Minami, Minami Yuki, and Natsumi Shozuki in 9 minutes, with Misa Matsui pinning Komomo Minami with a high-angle DDT. In a six-woman tag match, Bozilla, Chiaki, and Nagisa Nozaki defeated Mai Sakurai, Mirai, and Nao Ishikawa in 13 minutes and 48 seconds. Bozilla pinning Nao Ishikawa with the driller hole pile driver. In your semi-main event, Chika Goto, Koki Amore, and Miko Aono versus Kazuna Tanaka, Utami Hayashishita, and Victoria Yuzuki went the full 15 minutes, so another time limit draw there. And then we had, of course, the main event, Julia's Gauntlet match, and I will just very, very quickly run through the people in that before we inevitably immediately start talking about it. Bozilla, Chiaki, Chika Goto, Kazuna Tanaka, Komomo Minami, Koki Amore, Miko Aono, Minami Yuki, Mirai, Misa Matsui, Myla Grace, Nikita Nozaki, Nanae Takahashi, Nao Ishikawa, Natsumi Shozuki, Nori, Ria Sato even made an appearance despite being injured. Sari, Tsukasa Fujimoto did agree to show up from Ice Ribbon, Utami Hayashishita, Victoria Yuzuki, Zeta Steel, and then we had a run-in of sorts of four of the brand new rookies, Shino Amukai, Seri Yamayoka, and Ryoko Sakimura as well. So a huge, huge gauntlet match, and every single match offered something a little bit different, which I really, really enjoyed. Again, could mean nothing, but also could mean everything. Victoria Yuzuki, the only person to get the victory over Julia out of the 23 singles matches there were in this gauntlet, only Victoria Yuzuki. I really do think that there is a reason that they have put an emphasis on that. Four wins for Julia, 18 draws. But for me, this was just a celebration. We had comedy with Zeta Steel, with Ria Sato, who's obviously still out with a fractured rib, came in just to pose with her in the ring for 50 seconds before Julia rolled her up. You'd got the brutish bits of the exchange with Sari, Natsumi Shozuki not reading the script and thinking it was a full-on boxing match during this match. You'd got her match with Bozilla when Mai Sakurai came out and helped to try and keep Bozilla down during the match. I thought that was really funny. It felt very much like a tight-knit roster saying goodbye to a friend more than an icon. And that made it, for me, a very, very heartfelt and organically heartfelt match to watch, Matt.
Yeah, not only goodbye, but a thank you, and you know, go hit a home run.
Yeah.
Again, it's not like she's retired. The last time we saw one of these was Himika's last year, which was really, you know, it was fun and it was sad because that was it. You know, she ran after the sunset. We've seen little bits of Himika here or there, but she's retired. What's Julie doing? Again, she's going to the biggest wrestling company in the world. And again, there's a lot of buzz for her coming over here to the States, working with their wrestlers in NXT, and then probably in a handful of months going up to either Raw or SmackDown. But yeah, that's what it felt like. Yeah, very tight-knit roster. And great point on Victoria Yuzuki, the only one getting the three count here on Julia. And when Julia was kind of shaking everybody's hand at that very end and, you know, saying goodbye, she was very, you know, she basically stopped and took her time with Victoria Yuzuki. And I don't know what she said. Obviously, me and you don't speak any Japanese, or we speak very, very little Japanese. So I don't know what it was said, but it was basically, I think, like, you might be right, like the passing of the torch here. So yeah, Victoria Yuzuki is somebody that I expect to get a lot of wins in the Dreamstar Grand Prix. And this is a really great opportunity for them to elevate Victoria Yuzuki. She's the only one that got the win on Julia. And what's the very next show that's going to happen? the Dream Star. So this is going to be a great chance to elevate her, not only Marigold, but in wrestling as well. She is somebody that can put, you know, draw a lot of tickets, get a lot of eyes onto Wrestle Universe, a lot of subscriptions. You know, I think they should be doing, taking advantage of their YouTube channel, their ever-growing YouTube channel, and doing some spotlight things on Victoria Yuzuki, because she's somebody that is pegged to be a big star, and it's going to probably happen sooner than later. But a lot of really cool, this was a lot of really fun stuff. You did have your comedy. You did have, yeah, you're right, Nozika Nozaki was just like, you know, let me see if I can maybe try to injure Julia here. Obviously, that's not it. That she wasn't going for that. But she was out. She made every second of that 1 minute count. And then Utami Hayashista, the bell rings for like the two of them to slap each other, forearm each other. And, you know, I know everybody's like, man, we got to get that dream match. We got to get that dream match. We never got it. Not only here in Marigold, but in Stardom, which still blows my mind. We never got. But Utami obviously gets the advantage. She's the last opponent for Julia. The bell rings and she's getting ready to hit her with the hijack bomb. And the crowd is like, no, we want to see it. We want to see it. And Julia took some crazy bumps in this, you know, gauntlet to the point where it's like, geez, hopefully she's okay, because heaven forbid she gets hurt and then she got to delay her WWE debut, but she seemed fine. Again, there was a lot of slaps, stiff slaps back and forth. A lot of Saito suplexes. She got dropped on her head quite a bit. You know, the stuff with Fujimoto was terrific. Now we're kind of wondering what a singles match with the two of them would look like. And again, Utami ending Julia's run here in Marigold with the most insane hijack bomb you've ever seen, other than the one she did, Utami did on Kairi back at Dream Kingdom 2022. I still think they're trying to scrape up some of Kairi's DNA. That hijack bomb almost put her through the mat. But yeah, this was really funny. Yeah, you had a little bit of everything, a little bit of everything. And really, between this and then Julia's last official match, you know, with Mai Sakurai back in Corken Hall that we reviewed last week, really a great way to send her off. And again, not only say goodbye, say thank you, and, you know, hey, go hit a home run. Go and show everybody in America what the Joshi style is about. So I think that, you know, it's going to be onward and upwards for Julia. And I'm really excited to see what she does over here in WWE.
We also got the appearance of some of the rookies, and we actually saw Sayori Yamaoka get a little bit physical, and the way she ragdolled Julia around the ring really did fill me with a little bit of excitement ahead of her debut in 2025, because she's obviously got that amateur background. Marigold are obviously very, very excited about this imminent debut, and I am, after seeing this very, very brief, admittedly, little exchange, I'm also quite excited for this, Matt.
Yeah, there was one of the rookies with that crazy double leg takedown. There's another one that like just went up and like slapped Julia wholeheartedly, like right in the face or through her forearm. So you're like, oh damn, these rookies they're fired up. They're ready to rock and roll. So obviously let them finish their training. Last thing you want to do is rush them to get them out because of you're trying to add more depth to your roster. Because one, you don't want anybody to get hurt or have them hurt anybody. And two, you know, you don't want anything in your company that has Utami Hayashista and Mirai to look anything less than A+. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what this new batch of trainees is going to bring towards the Marigold roster. And considering the fact that once they graduate, Rob, wrestling the Miko Anos, the Natsumi Shozukis, the Utamis, the Marais. So they're just going to get sharpened by the iron that is the fantastic roster that is Marigold.
Oh, God. I really do feel sorry for them when they're wrestling Natsumi Shozuki, because she will legit hurt one of them. I'm genuinely concerned. Not actually saying that to hurt them.
And as he's laughing, folks. What a deal.
Honestly, she's so good. Throughout this, she's such a treasure. She really is. In the same way that I love Hazuki on the roster, I just feel like she's just that low-key person that you can constantly rely on. She's also had a haircut. I don't know if anyone has seen this on Twitter. She's gone for a far shorter haircut, which I'm sure we'll see debuted at the Dream Star. Is there anything else, Matt, you would like to talk about in regards to the matches that weren't the Julia Gauntlet?
No, I mean, I think everything else is pretty solid. Obviously, that's where it's kind of the main crux of everything. But Now it's something that you want to go over, sir. I think it's time to do our Dream Star Primer, my friend.
So, obviously, Dream Star Fighting Marigold have announced that they will be doing their inaugural round robin tournament. It's going to run from the 31st of August with two back-to-back shows at the Edion Arena Osaka, one afternoon show, one evening show, all the way through to the finals on the 28th of September, which is a Saturday. That is going to air on pay-per-view. All of the shows that are in Tokyo, just as Marigold Joshi on Twitter, just as they confirmed before, the shows that are in Tokyo will air live. I am presuming that the Corrigan Hall shows will have commentary. I don't know whether commentary will stem to, for example, the two Edion Arena shows on the 31st, which are both live. I don't know if they will have commentary. I assume that something will come out on Marigold's Twitter feeds very, very shortly. In the same way as your G1 Climax, your five-star Grand Prix, up until this year, it is split into two leagues. This year, we've got the Star League and the Dream League. The Star League is as follows. Sare, Miko Aono, Nanae Takahashi, Bozilla, Mai Sakurai, Misa Matsui, Kazuna Tanaka, and Chiaki comprise that block. The Dream League is as follows. Utami Hayashishita, Mirai, Natsumi Shozuki, Victoria Yuzuki, Nori of LLPWX, Koki Amare, Chika Goto, and Nagisa Nozaki. We also had confirmation of what matches are happening on what night. We'll just talk about those night one shows. So the 31st of August, Matt, this first show on the Dream, or from the Dream Star tournament, is as follows. In the Dream League, we've got Utami Hayashishita versus Nagisa Nozaki, Mirai versus Chika Goto, Koki Amare versus Nori, Natsumi Shozuki versus Victoria Yuzuki. From the Star League, then we have Miko Aono versus Misa Matsui, Nanae Takahashi versus Mai Sakurai, and Kazuna Tanaka versus Bozilla. Now, in terms of this afternoon show, there's two matches, or three actually matches, that stand out to me as ones that really make me sit up and take notice. That's Koki Amare versus Nori. From the flashes that I've seen of Nori, I'm really excited to see what she can do. They are very, very high. They've been Marigold on Koki Amare. I thoroughly expect her to go deep in this tournament. I don't think she wins it. I don't think she gets through to the final. I do think that she'll be there or thereabouts come the final night. I expect this to be a great match. Natsumi Shozuki versus Victoria Yuzuki is going to be Superfly nonsense, and I love that. It's going to be that mixed with a bit of Natsumi Shozuki violence as well. We've also got Nanae Takahashi versus Mai Sakurai. I truly believe, Matt, that Mai Sakurai is going to be one of those dark horses in this tournament, potentially not making it out of the block, but will be a spoiler for quite a few people in the Star League. What are you excited for in terms of this opening show?
Natsumi Shozuki and Victoria Yuzuki. Sorry, I was a little bit away from my microphone. I was kind of just chilling and relaxing, my man. But Natsumi Shozuki versus Victoria Yuzuki, Nanae Takahashi versus Mai Sakurai. I think Sakurai, considering the fact that all the hype going in, and rightfully so, just like the building of her, she's got to get out of this block as our Getty on night one with the win. Nanae Takahashi does not eat a lot of L's. I think this is the perfect way to keep building on Mai Sakurai. She needs to get a win over Nanae Takahashi on night one. So that's going to be something really interesting. Who's Nori wrestling on night one? Is she on night one?
Koki Amare.
Oh, yeah, you're right, but that's going to be a really, really good one. And then Utami and Nagisa Nozaki, that is going to be right up my alley, buddy. In the words of Jim Ross, that's going to be bowling shoe ugly, but in the best way possible. So a lot of really good stuff coming up on this Saturday as far as the Dream Star goes with those two shows. And there's a lot of really interesting matchup on the Dream League and the Star League. And I like how they made it really easy for us to remember. Because with Stardom, we always have to remember the colors. And now we got to remember colors with letters. With this one, it's the Dream Star Grand Prix. And we got one block, the Dream. and won the star. So thank you, Marigold, for making
considerably
it
easy.
Yes, thank you so much. We appreciate that. Remember, for the past years, we had the green block that Saida always won. But anywho,
every year, unbeaten as well. Yet no one seems to talk about it. It's devastating.
Take that, Micah.
yeah, God, thinking she's the first one to do it. Miku Anno and Misa Matsui as well from Star League on that afternoon show is going to be really, really good. Just going back to your point about 9-8-8 and Mai Sakurai, I would be very surprised if Mai Sakurai gets the win. However, I can see that one going to the time limit. I don't think 9-8-8, who I think they're sort of priming to be that first red belt challenge for Sari, I'd be very surprised if they have a lose on the opening night. However, I do expect the time limit there because you want to keep Mai Sakurai fresh. You want to keep Nanae fresh. Nanae is going to eat some falls in this tournament. You know, she's not going to go through the entire tournament unbeaten because she's, in my opinion, she doesn't make it out of the block. But, you know, who are you going to have beat her? And I think that needs to be selected very, very carefully, especially as you've got both the Crimson Red Belt champion and the Pure White Belt champion in that block as well. So something to keep an eye on, definitely there. That evening show as well, just the five Dream Star matches. Dream League, Sizutami versus Chika Goto, Mirai versus Nori, Natsumi Shozuki versus Nagisa Nozaki, just in case you want to witness a murder, apparently. And then Star League, Miku Aono versus Chiaki, and Star League again, Misa Matsui versus Bozilla. So another couple of tasty matches on that evening show as well, Matt. Again, Dream League, Utami Hayashishita versus Chika Goto, I think could be really interesting. Again, Chika Goto is someone I feel that is going to benefit from this series of singles matches and someone we're going to see develop a lot throughout this tournament. And then again, the violence of Natsumi Shozuki and Nagisa Nozaki could be off the wall, and I'm very excited about that.
Rob, I'm not going to disagree with you that Natsumi and Nagisa are going to have a super violent match, but I think Mirai and Nori is going to be a little bit more violent.
Yeah.
So you're going
to... Well, yes, absolutely. I do anticipate both women trying to decapitate the other with lariats, and I'm all here for that. I must admit, and this is something that I wanted to talk to you about, just going back to sort of the blocks themselves. Our belief is that we have got one person going through from each block. I think both blocks are so difficult to call. I think a lot of people believe Utami Hayashishita to be the odds-on favourite to win the tournament. And I think with it being your first tournament, that is a very safe bet. She's the ace of the company. You've just lost Julia. Utami is the face of this company, who you want to build the company around for the foreseeable future. I think she wins this tournament. However, you look at that block, she's got Mirai in there, I think, who pushes her all the way. And then you look at Star League, you've got four people who could legitimately come out of that block. Sari, Miku Aono, Nanae Takahashi, and Bozilla. And that's without taking into account dark horses like Mai Sakurai and Misa Matsui. I'm going to ask you a really difficult question now. Before we get into our who do we think is going to be a breakout star, who do we think is going to be a dark horse, who's coming out of the blocks, more importantly, Matt?
I gave a soft prediction last week, and my soft prediction I'm keeping as my official prediction. I totally agree. Utami Hayashishita wins the whole entire thing. You look at Rossi Ogawa's, look the way he booked the five-star Grand Prix. The five-star Grand Prix. I've been saying that so much over the past month. It's burned in my brain. Who won the very first one? Correct me if I'm wrong. It was Yuzuki Ayakawa, right? That's who they pretty much built the company around the first few years until she retired. And then when she retired, it was the meteoric rise that was Io Shirai. So I think that's what you do here. As great as Mirai is, Natsumi Shozuki, Koki Amore, Chika Goto, they all have shots to get a lot of points. I wouldn't be shocked if Mirai is the only one to defeat Utami in the block. I think that'd be really great for Mirai to get a win over Utami, and then it really makes the tag team championship look even bigger, mean so much more. So I have Utami winning the Dream Star. And Rob, call me crazy. Maybe I'm just on the train. I think Mai Sakurai wins the Star League. I really think she does.
Wow.
I think she does. And then you can give her title shots against Sari. You can give her title shots on Miko Ano. And if you do have Mirai defeat Utami Hayashista, you can have Utami and any and a partner of her choosing challenge Mirai and Mai Sakurai for the Twin Star Championship. You can set a lot of stuff up in this tournament, which again, we've seen Rossi do year after year after year in the five star, and it works. So you just bring it over to Marigold and it works. So I have Utami Hayashista and I have Mai Sakurai in the finals with Utami winning it all.
That's a bold prediction. Especially, again, you look at those top four, Sari Miko Ano, Nanae Takahashi, and Bozilla. You'd argue that Mai Sakurai needs to beat three of those four to make it through to the final. I mean, I'm not... I was the one sitting here saying that I didn't think Mai Sakurai should beat Julia. And I do stand by that. But that performance, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And do you know what surprises me even more? I'd like it. I'd like it if Mai Sakurai won. I think she'd be great. I personally don't think she goes through. I'm just looking at that block. And I don't think Sari or Miko Ano make it to the final. You know, historically, Rossi hasn't had champions in the final. Historically. So I don't think he does it here. Which leaves, realistically for me at least, Nanae Takahashi and Bozilla. I think Mai Sakurai is going to be up there, definitely. And she's my dark horse for the tournament. I think Bozilla could be the one in the final against Utami.
That's an interesting pick.
And I think, I know I said I don't think Nanae makes it out of the block, and now I'm talking myself out of it. It could be Nanae who makes it out of that block, and then Utami beats her in the final.
No.
Because we know we are getting a Nanae-Sari match. And I think Sari, if she's going to eat L's in this tournament, she eats one to Nanae, and I think she eats one to Bozilla. They are believable losses for your top champion, in my humble opinion. Wouldn't surprise me if Mai Sakurai beats Miko Ano for a white belt shot. But yeah, I'm torn between Bozilla and Nanae, and then Utami beating them in the final. I do think Utami wins for all the reasons you outlined. However, keep an eye on Natsumi Shozuki, keep an eye on Koki Amore, keep an eye on Mirai and Victoria Yuzuki in that league as well. I think Bozilla could play that, was it Hudson Envy in 2015,
yes,
who just tore through her entire block and then lost to Kairi in the final? I can imagine Bozilla doing something very similar here, tearing through the block, getting a win over Sari, and therefore being a red belt defense against Bozilla. I think that could work really well. I think she tears through that block, maybe eats one loss. I'd like it to be to Kazuna Tanaka just because of the way that she abused this poor woman in their last match. And then I reckon Utami beats her in the final. That's what I'm going with. That's my official prediction. In terms of your breakout star, so we sort of know who's going to be our MVPs, don't we? We're looking at Mirai, we're looking at Utami, we're looking at Sarai, we're looking at Mai Sakurai. Who is your breakout star? Who do you think we are going to be talking about coming out of this tournament who we've potentially overlooked a little bit?
I think Victoria Yuzuki is going to be one that's going to have, is going to have a great showing, is going to have a lot of points. But as far as like your kind of like Saida, somebody that's only going to have like maybe one or two wins, but have great matches, and you're like, oh, that's one to look out for. Victoria Yuzuki's tag partner in Kazuna Tanaka. So I think that Kazuna Tanaka, I don't see her getting more than two wins in this tournament, but I think every single one of her matches we're gonna be like, oh, that was really good. Oh, I like what she did there. Oh, you can see the improvement there. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with her afterwards. And the fact, if that does go that way, Rob, you have a makeshift number one contender tag team right there. If you have Yuzuki getting really close towards the top of that bracket and having great matches, and then Kazuna Tanaka, again, I don't see her getting more than two wins in this tournament, but having really good matches, you have a ready-made tag title shot right there. And I think that is going... I think you need to use this tournament to elevate the younger talent. And that's why when you said Nanae, I kind of said no. Because I think that if Nanae goes through into the finals, we already know that she's taken a lot of time off after this tournament. So she's not going to be there. And you need to use this tournament to elevate your younger talent. So if you don't, if you have Nanae go through, and this is no disrespect to her, again, we're huge fans of hers. If you have her go through, you miss an opportunity to use that spot to elevate the younger talent, especially when Nanae is not going to be there. So the Bozilla thing, I completely understand. I think Bozilla's got a way better chance than Nanae Takahashi to go through, but this tournament needs to be used to elevate, again, I just said three times in a minute, to elevate the younger talent because you don't have Julia there. You don't have Julia there, and heaven forbid something happens where, you know, you mentioned with Naomi Ishikawa. She got sick and missed two shows. We saw Utami. She got sick and missed like three or four shows. Heaven forbid something happens with Utami where she goes down, where she misses, even with the sickness. She misses in a weekend of shows. You don't have Utami there. You don't have Julia there. That's going to hurt the product. And you need to use this tournament to, again, develop and really put a spotlight on the younger talent that we've seen can really go. But I think that is the reason why that I don't think Nanae is going to go through. And that is the reason why I think Yuzuki and Kazuna Tanaka are going to be the two breakout stars of this tournament. And I'm all for it, my friend, because I'm a huge fan of both their work, not only as tag wrestlers, but single wrestlers as well.
Yeah, I think Kazuna Tanaka is a really good shout. I think that Chika Goto as well could be someone to keep an eye on. She could potentially have some really, really, really good matches with Mirai, with Utami. She works really well, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, and especially in that tag match at Korakuen. She works really well as a babyface being pummeled. And I think with the likes of Nori, Natsumi Shozuki, Mirai, Utami in that block, I think she's going to come out of this. We're going to be talking about her a lot. You can argue that Koki Yamare is in the same spot, sort of, but however, she has just had a title shot. So I don't see them in the same sort of category at the moment in singles competition. So Chika Goto is certainly one to look out for. I think, like you mentioned, Kazuna Tanaka, I think she maybe gets two wins, if that. And I think she could well be a block spoiler. Let's have a look at who she's got on the final night, actually. She has got Chiaki on the final night. So she could well win that match and spoil Chiaki's tournament. Sorry versus Bozilla is on the final night as well. That could be your block final. It really could. And then Utami Hayashishita versus Koki Yamare. Mirai's got Nagisa Nozaki. Victoria Yuzuki Nori. Yeah, it's going to be a very, very, very tasty night, that final night. There's some really, really, really good matches.
A couple questions for you there, handsome man. Where is the final night on? What venue?
The Nagoya, is it the Congress Hall or the International Center? Nagoya International Conference Center.
Okay, and the final night, are they doing it like how Stardom always did it, that the final night, whoever qualifies then has the finals that same night, like that's it? Yeah.
That's correct, okay. Yeah.
Just making sure. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, good sir.
No, it's absolutely fine. So in terms of breakout stars, we've sort of talked about it. So we've talked about who were the obvious winners. In my eyes anyway, obviously I've got Bozilla and Utami. Matt has got Mai Sakurai and Utami. Who are your dark horses to sort of keep an eye on in this tournament? Ones that you're like, I wouldn't necessarily count her out. You know, there's the chance that she will play spoiler to quite a few people, maybe not make it to the upper echelon of the block, but someone who will definitely push people to really good matches and maybe get that spoiler victory. For me, Misa Matsui really, really could play a massive spoiler in that Star League. You know, we've seen how Stardom have booked to great effect that roll-up pinfall finish. You know, we've seen it with the Izumi Sushi. We've seen it with Meisera's Shooting Star. We've seen it with the Idabashi. All of these moves have been built to be genuine moments of, oh my God, it's going to happen. And I think Misa Matsui with that European clutch could be someone that gets that shock win over a Miku Aono or even over a Sari. Why not? Havsari, as we saw with Tekla and Saki Kashima, Havsari blitz Misa Matsui and then have Misa Matsui just like that, roll her up with the European clutch, and suddenly, oh my God, Misa Matsui has just beaten our top champion. I genuinely think she is someone to look out for, Matt. I was also going to say Mai Sakurai, but as you've already put her through to your final, I'm not going to highlight her anymore. What about you?
That's a really good shout with Misa Matsui, especially the fact that she can roll you up because she's the speed star, right? So she can upend you at any point in the match. That's a great shout. And we didn't mention her, but why not Miko Anno? Not a spoiler, but maybe somebody that, like, okay, all Sari needs to do is get one win here, and maybe it's Miko Anno that stops her, because you want to highlight your talent here, considering the fact that she's your pure white belt champion. It puts more of a spotlight on her and the championship, and it makes the championship that much more important, even though she's not defending it. So there's a good possibility there. I mean, Miko Anno versus Utami final, I don't think anybody would say no to that. Or we've seen it work before, Rob. There's a possibility they may go back to it again. Mirai versus Miko Anno in the final. That's a possibility as well. There's a lot of really cool possibilities in this Dreamstar Grand Prix, not only with who's going to win the blocks, not only is who's going to win the whole thing, but who can possibly play spoiler and who possibly can come out of this a lot better than they were going in. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I'm excited to call all the fantastic, not call, but to review all the fantastic action with you, partner.
Yeah, I can't wait. This tournament is going to be really, really good. Just the 8 nights, don't forget. We start on the 31st of August. Next show, Sunday the 8th. The next show is Saturday the 14th of September. The Corican Hall show, the first one, night 4, is the 16th of September. That's definitely one to circle in your calendars. We've talked about it before, but this show is stacked. Utami Hayashishita versus Mirai, Sari versus Miko Anno, Nanae Takahashi versus Bozilla, Natsumi Shozuki versus Nori. Hiccups, all taking place on that Corican Hall show, 16th of September. We've then got Friday the 20th of September, Saturday the 21st of September. The second Corican Hall night is Monday the 23rd of September. That features Mirai versus Natsumi Shozuki, Koki Amore versus Chika Goto, Miko Anno versus Mai Sakurai. I thoroughly expect Mai Sakurai to win that and become a white belt challenger. Sari versus Nanae Takahashi. Again, I do thoroughly anticipate either Nanae winning or it going to a time limit draw. I do think that's how Nanae gets that title shot. And then we have got the finals, the only night that is an actual pay-per-view. All the rest will air on Wrestle Universe. Saturday, the 28th of September, Nagoya International Conference Center. And again, we've already been through it, but I'll go through it again. Dream League, Utami Hayashishita versus Koki Amore, Mirai versus Nagisa Nozaki, Natsumi Shozuki versus Chika Goto, and Victoria Yuzuki versus Nori. Star League, Sari versus Bozilla. I would bet my house, if I was a betting man, I'm not. But if I was, I would bet that that is your block final. The winner of that goes through. Mark my words. Miko Anno versus Nanae Takahashi, Mai Sakurai versus Misa Matsui, and Kazuna Tanaka versus Chiaki. Matt, it is going to be a stacked, stacked tournament. I cannot wait to get this started. And can't wait to talk about that final night, because we're going to have a lot. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, as I said at the top of the show, when Marigold come out of this tournament in a Julia-less world. It's going to be interesting to see where we stand. But unless you've got anything else left to say, my friend, I think it's time we wrap this up, because this will have been nearly 6 hours of podcasting between the Marigold Standard and the Stardom Cast this week.
Yeah, and then we're doing an alternate commentary in 10 minutes. So I guess let's...
we are indeed,
yes. Let's hit the double brain buster and get the three count and call this one a match, brother.
Absolutely. I'm going to roll them up with a European clutch, just like Misa Matsui. Ladies and gentlemen, that does bring us to an end of this episode. We will be back next week to talk all things Dreamstar Grand Prix, those opening two nights from Edion Arena Osaka. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. We massively, massively appreciate all of your support. You can subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, wherever you get your podcasts. If you could leave us a five-star review, that would really, really help us out. A rating of 5 stars if you think we've earned it, which I rather selfishly think we have. You can find us on social media at Marigold Podcast. You can also check out the website, www.thestardomcast.com. We have just opened our brand new forum where all of the news will be posted for your reaction as well. Get involved. We'd love to hear your opinions. Every single show will go up as a show report, or we're asking for your opinion and your feedback, and we'd love to discuss those on the podcast. So get those in. Also, every single Dreamstar Grand Prix show, the show reports will be up on the website as well. So that is certainly worth checking out as well. Patreon.com/TheStardomCast is where you can get all of these episodes early and ad free. And you can talk to me on Twitter at RealRobGoodwin. Matt Turner, where can they find you? And then sign us off, good sir.
Yes, folks, questions, comments, suggestions, anything you need from me, Matt Turner, OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter is the easiest and fastest way to get a hold of me. If you want to shoot me an email, that's perfectly fine. The email address is as follows, thestardomcast22@gmail.com. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for another episode. We greatly appreciate your support. Can't do it without you, because like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast, because we're all together. Everyone's different. Everyone's special.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.